This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio by the E10 Mess podcast, The Knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, and the guest, Julian Fern, is in the studio. We have a packed show for you tonight because not only was it a thriller of a game, maybe not a thriller for Leighton Orient fans because it was 3-3, but a classic of a game for the neutral. I watched it. We're going to be talking all of the fallout from that, looking at the game to Northampton on the weekend. But I'm delighted to say tonight, we have two very, very special guests joining us on the phone. Howard Gold, the Leighton Orient club liaison officer. Quarter past eight, just over 10 minutes time, then quarter to nine, we'll be talking to Phil Smith, the CEO of the Northampton FC Community Trust, who also used to work at Leighton Orient. Really two guests that we're really privileged to have on the show tonight. And if you do have questions or you do want to ask something, you know, you want to get involved, please do, because this is your team, your voice. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 7020 558. You can also WhatsApp on the same number. We have to start at the very top. That game with Port Vale on the weekend, 3-3. Julian, I will start with you because your photo, firstly, was everywhere. I saw you making a big show of yourself, trying to get on the screen. You've always had a face for radio. That's why you joined me here. Don't worry, I've got one too. What did you make of the game itself?
I
felt we just threw it away again, you know, and the lineup. Well, we keep on about the formation, we'll talk about it maybe later on, but the formation playing against a team who haven't won away from home in the league, yeah, and remember that?
I think Brendan called it.
yeah, called it, I think, last week, and hasn't won away from home in the league, not scoring loads of goals, and then we go and sit five at the back again and then score a great goal, and then we just invite them into our half for the rest of that, for the next 40-odd minutes. Ridiculous.
I don't want to say typical Leighton Orient, I mean, from this season, but you have you get the lead, you take it, you know, you go in front, then they pull one back, then you fall behind, and then, you know, in the dying minutes, you get a goal to draw the game. It just feels like, I know we mentioned it on this show, but one step forward, two steps back, consistency is really plaguing the team in a minute. I know there's obviously Ross has left, and obviously Ross said that the fans were singing throughout the duration of the match. He said it was an emotional day for him. He got at the end when they were singing for him, you know, he said it was a spine-tingling moment. We will talk about that. But it's just so many individual errors and team errors, actually, let's be fair, that are plaguing the team right now, Brendan.
Yeah, it seems like we only really have two gears. It's kind of like very defensive, sit behind the ball, or going for a goal. Like, and that's fine when we're chasing and we're down, but when you're drawing, it doesn't really make much use. We have a real problem with defending. Like the game against Exeter, I'll go back to, we take a lead, we sit back, we basically just hope for the best, try and clear balls out of the box. Did kind of the same when we went 1-0 up. It's only whether it's like a confidence problem or how we're set up, but when we take a lead, we don't really seem like we know what to do. We don't take the game by the scruff of the neck and try and see a game out. And second half, obviously, it's a lot better. We changed formation, same old story. We look a lot better when we're going forward with people like Brophy and Maguire on the pitch. But we've got to put in that complete 90-minute performance. I don't think we've seen that apart from the opening game at all this season.
I think you said about sort of the... we're not playing out for 90 minutes, but we do look lost, you know. Even when going 1-0 up, we just look lost to what to do. And most teams go, okay, we nicked an early goal, let's go at it. Yeah, let's go back. And they look weak. They were vulnerable, and their keeper was vulnerable, as from our three goals could prove. I think for me is that we relied on people last year being exceptional, but in a fairly average league, and I think they're being found out, and that's a real shame for me. players who I personally thought this year we're going to step up and become those players that we come Christmas we're doing everything to keep them in the club. And there's a few players that I'm not going to mention any names were on muted to be leaving in the summer, and I wouldn't have been too disappointed on the performance over the last 11 games whether they had a left, you know, and we replaced them with a little bit more talent. But good thing is we've got some players to come in. Hopefully a new manager at some point in the next few games, as long as we're not like Southend waiting and waiting and waiting. And then we'll see where it goes. You know, we've looked at the next fixtures in October, and we've got two opinions on what the point tally could be depending on new manager or not. So it's going to be a tough month.
Is that how you're already looking at the season fixtures now? Because I know all football fans do it. No matter who you support, you look at September, you look at October, or you look at them in batches of threes or six, and four away here, two at home. If we nick a point there and we get 3 points there, it never ever works out like that, because we don't know what form we're going to take. We don't know what momentum we're going to carry into those games. But are you already now, Julian, you're saying if we've got a manager, we'll get X amount of points, no manager. Are you starting to map out the season like that already?
Yeah, the knowledge you were saying earlier.
The knowledge.
Yeah,
I love it.
I'm taking the putting him on the spot, but I said, look, 5 points in October if we stay where we are, and we sort of looked at this again and said, okay, 8 points if we bring a new manager in the Walsall. So we've got a tough few games in October, and it's gonna be backs against the wall. But reality is, when we come out in the second half, we don't play that badly. So why can't we just do that the first 45 minutes, you know? And you see a lot of teams sort of fall away in the second half.
You say that. You took the lead in the fourth minute, though. And no, it's been a couple of games. I know it's not the performance, Julian.
Yeah,
but in football, you need a bit of luck. Orient have taken the lead, and it's happened in a few games now. And I'm like, obviously, taking the lead's fantastic, but as soon as that goal went in, I went, right, I want to see something from Orient here now, just a little bit. I don't care if his back's to the wall. I don't care how early it is. I just want to see them hold on, because it's what Brendan alluded to there, the knowledge said. We just don't know what to do when we get a lead. We just can't seem to hold on. Why is it that Orient looked that little bit shaky after taking the lead? I don't know if that's a leadership thing or that's back down to the management. Why is that a problem?
You'd have to put it down to the management. I hate to go back to last season, but our game management was probably our biggest strength last season. We were rarely out of a game. We always looked like we'd keep it tight. As the game went on, we'd get gradually stronger, and we'd keep it tight, go into halftime 0-0, and that would be the way it would be. This season, we just don't look like that.
We knew that every week, though, didn't we? Yeah. You go to every game, you go, Justin's going to set us up. We're going to go in 0-0, 1-1. Yeah, but then come out the second half and go, yeah, we're off on our way. And even if we just go and protect that 1-0 win in the first half or what have you, we knew there was a game plan. My thing, we talk about leaders, and I really don't want to pull ball people out, because ultimately they're professionals. They're not getting up every Saturday and thinking, I'm going to play awfully. But I think Coulson, for me, he's not a captain. I watched a guy, and you know, I spent most of the first half in front of me, and I was thinking, he doesn't say a dicky bird, you know. He's not pulling anyone up. Josh Wright, to his degree, was doing a little bit, but there's no real inspirational leaders in that team at the moment for me.
But this is a big problem, isn't it, Julian? And I know everyone's got their own plan style. Everyone's got their own style of captaincy. He might not be one to shout and holler and bellow orders, you know. He might, you know, arm round the shoulder, pull a couple of guys in when they're set pieces, when he can get them in it. But, you know, to you, the pan punters or the fans who are watching the games, we are looking at him, we're looking to a few others, and we're going, right, where's the one who's trying to, you know, sit above the trenches and go, right, let's concentrate on this for 5 minutes, let's keep it tight, you know what I mean? Because I saw it once again on the weekend, 1-0 up under 5 minutes, by the half hour mark it's 2-1 to Port Vale, and it's no disrespect to Port Vale, because they are a good side, but they are yet to have an away league win. And I don't like the phrase, oh, you know, you should be getting 3 points there, because I think in any league everyone can beat anyone on that given day. But when you did have it, it was just like, almost like, now it was like, what can Port Vale do? You know, like you said at the very top of the show, we invited them in, and that's not what it should be, should it?
Sorry, looked at each other there.
It was it was an open question there, Julian. Yeah. Sorry.
The frustration thing is, I do still feel and still believe we've got a squad who are a League Two squad, and we said it about 4 or 5 shows away when we talked about those who have played in the higher leagues for some serious amount of time. They're just not showing it, and we're not showing the class we had last year. We're not showing the leadership that we should be having, and what we're thinking, we're not showing that we are and could be a fairly good League Two side.
Yeah, I think the fact of it is, we lined up with a 5 at the back at home to Port Vale. you shouldn't really be conceded two goals before half time if you're playing defensively.
Yeah.
Like, that's an issue. That's a problem that needs sorting out on the training ground, because it's not really good enough, to be honest.
And also, when it was 2-2, I know you got that last minute equaliser, but when it was 2-2 before Port Vale scored very late themselves, did you think if anyone was going to get a winner here, it was going to be them? Can that can play on the players' minds, can't it? Slightly.
Yes. Yeah, so yes, I think we've gotten ourselves in that position now, where last year ago we can nick a winner. It's the mental state of everyone, the club and the team. And I listened to Ross and his interviews sort of post match and I think the one before that, and I appreciate that, because still, though, some of those players are grieving. We get that, and I truly understand. So that's why I'm not going to stand here and pull them out one by one and by name and say you should be doing this, that, the other. But we're getting to a stage where we have to make some changes. People, if they can't get their head in the game and they're still got emotionally attached to what's gone on, and they should do, and they should get in help and support to do that, step away for a couple of weeks. No one in our club, none of us fans, would turn around and go, sorry, ex-player, if you've stepped away for a couple of weeks because your head's not in it, no one's going to bore you out. No, actually, we'll stand up next time you're back in that team. Everyone will stand up and celebrate and clap you back into the club. So don't panic about that. Just get into that game and be there for 90 minutes, and that's the bit we're not doing.
I think you're completely right. I feel that Ross himself got that support on the weekend, didn't he? Because they're, you know, we've seen it a lot over Twitter on this show, the Ross debate. He is finally out, but the fans 100% behind him. You know, the club pulls together more than anyone. You said it's that family club, it's that community club. We saw it behind Ross this week. Let's talk about the positives, because obviously the result wasn't all that positive. It still was another point. Port Vale were in semi-decent form. Let's talk about the goal for Wilkinson. And I actually thought Josh Wright's second goal, that was brilliant.
That should have gone in. It was a goal that should, he got in at such a great position. And he was in front of me and I think he's sort of disjointing his neck just to get his head
that's
round down.
Brilliant header. Take. Yeah, yeah, come on.
Brilliant. And then JMD, you know, JMD, that's the other thing that sort of frustrates me. So excellent player, and he just doesn't turn it on enough for me for consistency. If he can be consistent, he is a force. Brophy came on and for me did the usual Brophy thing, just confused the hell out of them, because he's such a good, quick ball player, keeps the ball at his feet very well and comes in, cuts inside, and the defenders know what they're doing. JMD, great ball in. Josh's header was fantastic. Josh's first header was fairly good, but it was just an open play. But yeah, Connor. And I'm actually becoming a bit of a fan of Connor's. I just think he works so hard. And I think having Lee out the game, out the team for a few weeks, I think he's given him a bit more responsibility. But he does sort of, for me, he just needs to get rid of some of the bad bits in his game, and some of that seems to be attitude.
Well, we know what a win does for confidence. Can it have the reverse effect this weekend, Brendan, where it was just a point, but it was a last-minute equaliser? Sometimes, you know, that's the last thing the players that happened on the pitch, they walk off with that. Look, we've survived the loss, you know, we've got the point, a great goal, a great equaliser. Let's take this. The fans were singing off Ross as the players walked off the pitch. Could that still have the effect of almost like a win? I know it was just a point, but to take them into this Northampton game.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully that'll give them that galvanising effect. It'll feel like a win almost, because you snatched a draw at the last minute, and you'd hope as a fan that it might be Ross's last league game in charge, because you'd hope by 2 weeks' time we'd have a new manager. So hopefully that could spur them on to the kind of do it for Ross attitude, because the crowd backed him and I hope the players would want to back him too.
Very good point there, because it will be the break, but we will be talking all about that Northampton game in a little bit. But I'm delighted to say Howard Gold, the Leighton Orient club liaison officer, will be joining us next.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, the knowledge Brendan Pitcher, and the guest Julian Fern, talking everything where the game was concerned on the weekend, that 3-3 thriller against Port Vale. They haven't won away in the league, and you know what? They still haven't. They only picked up the point. Orient may be pleased with that point. We're going to be continuing that discussion and looking to the Northampton game a little bit later, but I'm delighted to say we have a very special guest on the line now to join us at Love Sport Radio and the E10Mess podcast. Howard Gold, the Leighton Orient Club Liaison Officer. Howard, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. We really appreciate you coming on. It's a pleasure to have you. For everyone who doesn't know what you do or is not familiar with you, you know, how much of work do you do in a community and what does your job entail?
Oh, thanks, Charlie. Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Thank you for coming.
No, my pleasure. What do I do? That's a very good question.
How long you got?
Yeah, exactly. You haven't got enough time. I think I've got a pretty unique job, actually. It's regarded as unique through the league. I think I might be the only one who's actually employed by the trust and the club. So the club actually do fund a few hours of my time a week so that I can work across the two, the trust and the club itself. So in the trust, I've been at the trust since about 2004. And I started just as a community coach out on doing the estate work, working on the Kicks project and things like that. And then gradually worked my way up as there was opportunities. But I still work on the ground, as it were. So I'm doing sessions with their mental health groups, like coping through football and the older persons groups and things like that. But then on the club side, I've got the privilege of working with the players. Take them out, as I did today. I was out with Joe Widdowson out in the community at a local school. And then one day a week I'll be at the training ground, chatting to the guys, giving them their duties, as it were, and working closely with them. So real privileged position there, being an Orient fan.
Howard, over the years you've obviously worked with a lot of players. Who's your favourite to take? Who was your absolute favourite to take on, like, a community visit?
Oh, that's not fair. You said there'd be no difficult questions.
Straight in my question to Howard.
No, wait. I can't answer that one. There's just too many. But they're all professionals. Even in those bad times that we had, all the guys I took out were totally professional out in the community. You know, they'd always do a job, even though some of the questions might have been difficult from the kids and things like this. They put on a brave face, but. No real favourites, but I know Coxie's listening, so I better say it to him.
Howard, let me ask you, how important is this work that the club do in the community? Because, you know, a lot of times footballers, sports people, they get a lot of bad rap or bad press from the media, but a lot of work that they do in the community goes unnoticed. People don't shout about it, but they do a lot of work, as do the club, don't they?
They do, yeah. I know the Premiership boys, Premier League boys, get a little bit of stick. They're earning too much money and stuff. But if you actually, people did a little bit of research and looked at a lot of the stuff that these guys do, especially charity work, you'd be surprised how much time they do give. And especially at our level as well, National League level, a lot of these boys are out doing stuff in the community. They know how important it is and making relationships with the local community. And I think you could probably see that the crowd has increased, certainly on the east side of the ground there, in the east stand. I mean, my job, in fact, when I started doing the role of getting the players out and liaison with schools, etc., about 10 years ago, I think it's coming to fruition because we certainly see a lot of the younger children now, younger guys. And when I go to schools, generally the first question I'll say is, OK, who's been to Leighton Orient? And honestly, about 3 or 4 years ago, you'd have 3 or 4 kids put their hands up. But now you're going to get half the assembly will say, yeah, we've been to Orient and stuff like that. So I know it works. We had a family come last year and enjoyed it so much that literally after the game, they went and signed and got themselves a family season ticket. So, you know, it is working. It's really, really important. And the boys totally professional, as I say.
Howard, hi, it's Julian. Hope you're well.
I just went
to pick up on that because I've really noticed it over the probably the last 6-7 years is that as I get a little bit older, our fan base gets a lot younger, and I think a lot of that has come from the stuff we do in the community. I just think we should be so proud of what we do, and I'm very proud as a fan, and you probably know that that what you guys do and the club does now. You know, those dark times have taught us a lesson that we're never going to go back there, because I think for us it was the community piece that which was the family. I think kept us going, if I'm honest, and still going out there, still spreading the love, which is Leighton Orient. And I just want to take this opportunity on radio to thank you, the rest of the trust, and thank the players and everyone that gets involved with what we do as a club, because I think it's absolutely exceptional. And I've made some fabulous friends over the recent years, you being one and Phil being another, and that's down to the work you do in the community. I just want to take this opportunity to thank you.
Oh, that's totally appreciated. Thank you very much. Because, you know, the main aim is to let people, exactly what you said, to let people know that we do. It's no good really just going to a local school and keeping it in-house. So we're working hard on the media side of things to get it out there, you know, and great with the social media these days that, you know, we do get people noticing around the world and retweeting and liking stuff, and we try and get it up on the web. And it, as you say, the more people that know what we do, the more impact we have. And that's, again, that's the players realise that too. I think the younger crowds, as you say, it is noticeable, and that is to do with the work that we've been doing. It's really hard that we get the community supporting us, as you know, with the big boys over the road, and you've got Arsenal and Spurs literally down the road. So there's still a lot of these youngsters who the parents will take them. But we've got that second club type of label. But that, actually, we don't mind that. We'll go to the school and we'll say, that's great, you can still support them and watch them on the TV, but you need to come over and see some real football. And then when you take players in, like we did with Joe today, it becomes real for them. And you can say, well, you can go and see Joe play on Saturday. And they get really, really excited. In fact, the two or three teachers that were in the room were asking for tickets as well. So we know that these visits are so important, and we keep it diverse as we can as well. It's not just youngsters; it's anyone in the community. We are community, and we try and do that.
Howard, obviously, you mentioned the good work you do. Julian highlighted it there. We certainly know of the work you do, and it's been a pleasure for us to have you on. And anytime there is an event you want to get on and talk about and highlight it further, if we can help you, we'd love to do that again. You're always welcome on the show anytime. But let's turn our attentions to a Leighton Orient season so far. Let's talk about football. What have you made of the start to the season Orient have had?
Well, I can only talk personally from my point of view. I don't know. It's just frustrating. Is it? Orient have been. I've been at Orient since I started supporting 1970. So I'm giving my age away a little bit.
Yeah, 24. So, were you then?
Yeah, I'm a. Say again.
24. Were you then? 24, 25.
I was actually 10 years old then. So yeah.
It was Julian that was 34, 35.
Yeah. So you know, you grow up as a pessimist watching Leighton Orient, but I don't know. It's just a little bit frustrating because you know that they're an excellent bunch of lads. They're still very tight, if anyone needs to know. You know, they're not despondent and they're not arguing. They're still as close as can be. They're frustrated like everyone else because they realise that they could be doing a little bit better, but sometimes it's a little bit of bad luck. You know, we seem to be punished for every mistake we're getting at the moment, and the goal goes in. But I think once we settle down a bit, they're not worried. It's just like a bit of a jigsaw. We're just waiting for that puzzle just to click, and I think we'll be fine. Yeah, just frustrated, really, but I'm not too worried.
Yeah, Howard, I'm glad to hear that they're still sort of quite close-knit. I think that's something that was been so important over the last couple of years. And we all appreciate the pressures and the strains and the sadness that they probably all felt earlier in the season and still do. For me, is just a jealousy thing, really. I just think you get a great opportunity to, as a fan, to see that side and know when it's not going quite well in the camp, and you probably had some stories from the past that you would share over a beer one day. But I'm really pleased for that. So, but one thing for me is that I think we've been punished for just a bit of naivety at times, and it's the stuff where last year we got away with it because we were playing teams that are probably not as good as Orient, and probably we were quite well respected in the National League. And I really hope the guys and under the new regime, whoever that may be, and if you can give us any ideas of that, it'd be great. Could drop me a text. but for me, is that I think going into a new regime, we may get that bounce, and it just may help some of them kickstart and sort of put some smile, further smiles on their faces, and then get that focus again. So, I mean, I'm glad to hear that you're saying that you feel from your side, from a personal note, there's been no sort of major dramas back in the changing room. And a thing for me, you could sort of see it. You can see it from the players, but reality is, I think we need to definitely get 3 points and. Against our friends at Northampton on Saturday would be great. And on a personal note, I'd love to get 3 points at Walsall because my niece's husband supports them. So that's just going to be a nightmare if we lose there. So that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as I say, I'm not too worried. They're still a real tight bunch. Obviously, you want to beat Northampton because you've got Phil on later. So Phil's a good friend working with him for...
He was a good friend.
Yeah, he still is. No, he sorted me out a couple of tickets for Saturday, so he's still a good mate. it's going to be... there was a step up that we all know, and I think the very first game, Cheltenham at home, you could see already that the standard was maybe a little bit more, and it surprised us a little bit. It surprises me that actually the step is a lot higher than I think people would quite imagine, because... We used to look at it and think, well, actually, the bottom half of League Two is just as good as the top half of the National League. But actually, I think it's actually a lot higher than that. So, and if you look at Fylde and Wrexham, they're in big trouble at the moment. They just can't buy a win. So, you know, we're not doing too bad. We're not far away. As you say, Connor is starting to settle down now. It's a shame Lee got his little bit of an injury there. But look at the positives. Joby's nearly back. Dates is pretty much back. You still got Tells to come back in at the back there. You know, we've got a decent squad. Nothing to worry about, folks.
Howard, you mentioned that you know Phil, and it is, of course, Northampton on the weekend. We're going to be talking to Phil Smith in a little bit. Obviously, I have to ask, score prediction for the weekend. What are you saying?
Oof, blimey, that's a toughie. Obviously, we always want to win. I think Northampton play, I'll take another nice 3-3.
Oh, you're accepting another classic six-goal thriller. Howard, a real pleasure to talk to you tonight. Howard Goldair, the Leighton Orient Club Liaison Officer. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time, Howard. We really do appreciate it. But the guests don't stop there. In a little bit, we'll be talking to Phil Smith, the CEO of the Northampton FC Community Trust. Next, we're going to be talking about potential managers and the tactics from the weekend.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
This is the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, the knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, the guest, Julian Fern. Delighted there. We just heard from Howard Gold, the Leighton Orient Club Liaison Officer. He was telling us all about the great work they do in the community and his thoughts on the game with the weekend. We're going to be getting more thoughts about the game from the weekend when we talk to Phil Smith, the CEO of Northampton FC Community Trust. And as always, you can have your say. Give us your thoughts. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. You can even WhatsApp on the same number. Now, though, let's talk about a little bit more that fallout from the game on the weekend. Those tactics, those formations. It's definitely a running theme where Brendan is concerned. The five at the back, we're not happy, we're not pleased. Maybe it might change under a new manager. That's the first question. And secondly, we are getting closer. They said a few weeks. Does it feel like, because I'm hearing a few whispers, a few rumours, we're getting closer to maybe announcing that new manager, Brendan?
We definitely have a bookies outright favourite now in Colin Calderwood, who is the manager of Cambridge. I think he's 1-3 on at the minute.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You wouldn't take that much notice of bookies odds because they can change, especially in a market like that. It's going to change quite frequently. But yeah, at the minute, he's 1-3 on. Cambridge came out on Monday and said that there was nothing in it. And Calderwood himself signed a new contract about 2 weeks ago, maybe. So it seems a bit of an odd one, but he has a relationship with our director of football, Martin Ling, from before. I think they played together. I think they might have worked together at Spurs before. So it would make sense in that regard, but we'd have to fork out compensation, something that I don't think I could see us doing, to be honest.
What about another name that was mentioned, Holloway? Is that a potential? Because it seems like it's bubbling away, but then we've got bookies as other favourites, people being linked to it. Could we see Ian Holloway? I know you mentioned it as a potential, Julian, but is there any truth in this, genuinely?
Do you know what? I don't know anymore. So Rumour had it that he was there Saturday, and again, there's no evidence, picture evidence, to show that my camera wasn't working that well. But I would prefer him over Colin Cordwell, just for personal choice. And Colin's probably a really nice chap. I don't know him any Jew, but I think the old Knowledge wrote a piece, and I think that was fairly interesting about some of the younger managers out there who have not managed a first team football. And one of those names that came up, and it was really interesting, someone I didn't even think about until we spoke earlier, is Alex Inglethorpe, an ex-Orient player who's doing a great job at our friends at Liverpool. And Do you want to take a gamble? Yes, we took a gamble on Russ, but it was a different gamble, so people have opinion on that. But reality is now, I think we could take someone who's been doing a great job sort of in academy football, take him up to a first team position, who has that great knowledge and background to motivate and coach people who are going through that journey, and we're going through a journey. So I think that may be something quite worthwhile.
Yeah, going further on that, I did a bit of research for that piece, and out of the current top seven in League Two, the average age of the managers is 40 years old. So there's clearly works that you have a young, hungry manager ready to prove himself in a league where stereotypically you'd think, oh yeah, people are playing dinosaur, long ball, proper football men. Actually, if you look at even people in previous times like Danny Cowley, Nathan Jones, Michael Appleton, all managers that have played good football, young managers, hungry managers, people that will come in, have an identity. And I think there's only one relegation spot in League Two this season. I think, is it worth just Martin Ling scouring the Premier League clubs, trying to find a youth coach that's hungry to take on a first team job? Is it worth a risk rather than going for someone who's a steady hand? Like, is that something we need to look at? I don't know.
Yeah. I think it would be a brave, bold decision appointing a young academy coach who, you know, could be the next one of the next best things, a top prospect in the managerial stakes. But will it just seem like to the Orient fans who don't feel that way, you know, maybe from an outside perspective, that, you know, Ross, it was one of his first chances, you know, the club needs security, stability. Yes, he had that 10, 11 games in charge. It's not time to take another chance. We need an older, wiser veteran head like an Ian Holloway or someone else just to lead it through. We are back in the Football League. You know, could there be that for it? Because as soon as there isn't that, and I'm all for trying someone young, and I think that's the move you should make. But is it, if it doesn't click straight away, Julian, is the danger 2 to 3 games in, the noises when it was Ross will just come straight back to the fore and go, he's not ready for this, we didn't need this, we needed to make sure we were safe this year, because that's ultimately what happens when football teams lose games.
I think the circumstance that Ross started this season under was so different, so I don't think we can compare like for like. Reality is, you're right, we are a fickle bunch, and there will be people.
All
after.
Football fans are,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah. That was a collective globally.
The royal we.
So there will be fans who will go, you know what, give him a couple of games. 10 games is always a good measure. But I'm really torn. I was absolutely go for someone a bit more mature who's been around there. The reason I like Ian Holloway, and again, I got shot down last time, I get shot down again with saying this, is that...
Did you really get shot down?
Yeah,
eh?
I nearly closed my Twitter account because of it. So,
wow.
But no, I didn't. That's a joke. Probably will do now. But what I like about someone like Ian Holloway is the character. I do think around the place, although we're got behind the scenes are going well, and hopefully sort of we can share that next week even further with some other people in the Orient setup. I think that as Howard spoke about, we're getting more and more fans, especially their East End filling up with those community tickets. I just think we just need a bit of fun. We've had a real deep, dark time, you know, sadly, with Justin. Someone like Ian Holloway for a couple of seasons. Hey, listen, what we may not be going to get promoted, but wow, we have a bit of a laugh and the media will love us. So I just to get a bit of buoyancy throughout the club.
Well, a word that the Knowledge used earlier was galvanised. Maybe that's exactly what Orient need. We're saying, you know, will that classic on the weekend galvanise and will it give them that energy? Maybe it is that new manager bounce that we always hear about. Holloway could provide that antidote. Something that is providing the antidote. Don't worry about Leighton Orient. Let's talk about the women, because they are off to a flyer in the league. Brendan, their media manager, one of the best media managers in town. We're talking about
big
managerial prospects. You're the one that everyone's looking to poach. How are the women getting on, Brendan?
Oh, fantastic. They got their fourth win in a row on Sunday. 6 wins from 7 at the start of the season. The other one was a draw, so they're still unbeaten. Unluckily not to be top of the league because of goals scored and other teams playing more games, but flying high at the minute, absolutely full of confidence.
Just quickly, I know Julian wants to ask about it. It's only the top that gets promoted, though, isn't it?
Yeah, so yeah. We need to be.
You're doing well, but you do need this top spot. But like you said, you're a few games behind. It's on goal difference, goal scored. You've got to be feeling confident the way he's going to get it.
Oh, 100%. We picked up some really good results recently. We kind of had probably our toughest test on Sunday. We played Basildon. It was 0-0. We saved the penalty, actually, and to go 1-0 down, so did really well there. And then we bounced back and we showed our fitness and our like ruthless streak to win 3-0 in the end. So got a really good side and a really good character as well in the side.
You should make sure to get those videos over to the club, show those to the first team players. So I'm not following it as close as you for obvious reasons, but so who's the outstanding players that you've seen this season?
So at the minute, we've got a new striker called Atisha Charles. She's doing fantastic. She's come in, she's scored a lot of goals.
What's her background?
I'm not sure, to be honest. No. But she plays up front. She's a really quick player, good hold-up play, and she looks a class above that league at times. Then you've also got more like players who've been there a bit longer. You've got people like Sophie Lamarchand, who scores a lot of goals. I think if you were going to ask any Orient
club
typical
legend.
Fan.
Brendan,
let's
get one on. Let's let him join in. Not just on the phone. Can we get one in the studio maybe to talk about all things?
They train on Wednesdays. So.
This is the problem.
Yeah, that's their problem.
You know what? I feel sorry because a few of the clubs, you know, I've tried to get the women on, but they train at night in the week for the fan shows, and it's so good to have that perspective and talk about the teams that are doing well, because like you said, and we're not just saying it to give you a G up, but they're actually doing fantastic in the league, aren't they, Brendan?
Yeah. What about a good idea? Why don't you get sort of midweek interview with one of those and we can play it on the show?
Perfect.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Why don't you go down to the games, not just Brendan, and then you could do an on the side pitch interview and we can play it out on the show.
Yeah, all right, I'll do that.
Yeah?
Yeah. No problem.
The problem is you probably would. But let's talk about going to the games, Julian, Brendan, because we want people to get involved, and it is so easy to come down and watch, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's Marwen Stadium. It's about 15-minute walk from Marwen Station, about 15-minute walk from Limehouse on the DOR. Easy ground to get to. It's got a stand, free admission most weeks, get a programme with that. It's just, and you get to watch an Orient team that actually can win some games at the minute, so it's always a positive.
There you have it, the women's team. Check them out because they are flying in the league, just in second position off that top spot by goals scored. They need that top spot to get promoted. Brendan will obviously keep us up to date with all of that, but now we will be talking to Phil Smith next. We heard from Howard Gold. Now we get another brilliant guest on to have a chat about the Northampton game and the brilliant work they are doing in the community.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I am joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, the knowledge Brendan Pitcher, and the guest Julian Fern. You can join us too. Call us on 0208 70 20 558 or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Someone that we have called because we are delighted to get them on a show, it's a real privilege for us, is Phil Smith, who joins us now, the CEO of Northampton FC Community Trust. Phil, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. We really appreciate that. We heard from your friend Howard Gold earlier all about the work Leighton Orient are doing in the community. Can you tell us a little bit about what Northampton are doing in the community? And I know you used to work at Orient yourself.
Well, thanks for inviting me on. It's great to be able to have a chat about the work that we're doing in Northampton town. And yeah, I did work at Leighton Orient for 2 years as head of health and wellbeing, where I learned my trade, effectively. Fantastic place to work.
A fantastic place to work. Obviously, this is the Leighton Orient Fan Show, so I have to ask you, you're obviously missing it, right, Phil? You wish you was back there?
I am. The O's hold a special place in my heart. I would definitely say they're my second team, and I always keep an eye out for their results. So it'll be a hard one this weekend when I've got the two teams playing against each other.
Phil, hi, it's Julian. Hope you're well.
Hi, Julian.
Yeah, going back to sort of what Phil was saying, I think the community stuff that Phil's doing up at Northampton that started that journey in Orient, I think he brought a lot of people together. And we were talking about Howard earlier. I don't know if you picked it up, Phil, is that true community. But reality is, I think we've bonded some serious friendships through some of those programmes and they're reaching out to the wider community. Are you doing those sort of things up at Northampton? Have you followed that step and you're starting to roll out some of those like Man versus Fat and some of those other great things you used to do?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, football clubs hold a really special place in the community, and in most cases, they're the heart of the community. And I think a lot of the work that we're doing up here is around connecting communities and improving lives. So we cover a range of health programs, so things like Man v Fat, football fans and training, to employability work, to a range of programs that not only are football based but are open out to the wider community as well, really.
Phil, let's talk about the game on the weekend, because we know of the wide range of work you do and how important it is to the community. Let's turn our attentions to the game on the weekend, because obviously we don't know where your allegiances lie. You worked at Orient, no, we know you're still at Northampton now, it has to be them. Howard even said you politely sorted him out tickets for the weekend. He said you're a man who he holds in good stead. It's a tricky tie on the weekend. Both need that win, because it's not been the greatest start for either side. Orient really need that win. We know the troubles they're having at the minute. What do you see in terms of how the game will play out?
I think it's going to be an interesting one. At Northampton, we've had a lot of change over the summer. Big overhaul of players coming to the end of their contracts. So we've got quite a new team, which has obviously taken a bit of time to gel. I think it's going to be an exciting game. I think both teams can score goals. Both teams have had their issues with defending as well at times. So I think it should be an exciting one for the fans, really.
Phil, I just want to quickly ask about the work you do in the community. I know we're just speaking about the game. Obviously, we heard from Howard and how important it is, you know, in the community around Leyton Orient. And it obviously, he mentioned, he touched upon the Premiership clubs and the money they have and how they can get into community. But we need fans to go to the lower league clubs, obviously, to get into there. And it's just as important they can carry out their work in a community. Is that the same for around the Northampton area? Do you know, do people see that the work you're doing? Because as we always said, and to repeat a question I asked Howard, the good work, obviously, it always goes under the radar. Whenever things bad happen in the area in a community, that gets highlighted straight away. But there is a lot of good work happening amongst the scenes as well, isn't there?
Yeah, I think the community schemes at most clubs are the best kept secret. In some ways, and we're trying our best to try and improve that, raise the profile. And I think we're quite lucky, both at Northampton and at Orient, to have owners who have a top-down approach on making a community club and really trying to support and give back to the community. So for us, the fans understand the work that we do, but there's always room for improvement with it. And I think from our point of view, it's important to give back to be able to support them outside of the Saturday football as well.
And in terms of the game on Saturday, we know it's going to be a bit of a poignant occasion, as one of Justin Edinburgh's former clubs we play again. I know there's things planned for the day. Can you kind of outline what's going to happen?
Yes, we've got a few things in line to celebrate Justin's life. So during the, well, pre-match, we've got fundraising for the Justin Edinburgh Foundation. So there's going to be some bucket collections around the ground. There's going to be a pre-match applause. And we've got a number of things dedicated to him on the day with the programme and a few other bits in and around the stadium as well. Also pre-match, we've got a walking football match that's taking place between Leyton Orient walking footballers and Northampton Town walking footballers, which will also be raising money as well for the Justin Edinburgh Foundation. And I think Howard might be taking part in that as well.
He's rubbish, Phil. He doesn't want to join in that. So, I just think, last thing for me, Phil. Just I know time's pressing for us all. What do you see from afar? What do you see the journey's going to look like for him for the rest of the season?
I think it's always hard when you get promoted. I mean, under the circumstances that have started the season as well, it's always going to be tough. But I think it's a long season and it's a very competitive season as well. But I think Orient are in good stead. I think they've got a good squad. I think that will come through as the season goes on. And I think the key thing is that you've got that togetherness. And I think that you know, you are grinding out results as well, which is the most important thing in this league.
Well, Phil, it is that time. I have to put you on the spot. I have to get a score prediction for the match. Northampton walking footballers vs Leyton Orient walking footballers.
So for the walking footballers, I think our one's going to take it. I think it's going to be 3-1 on that one.
Oh, Phil. Well, hopefully, I used to really like you, Phil.
Hopefully that's just the scoreline you're predicting for the walking footballers, because they won't take that in the studio. What is your score prediction and thoughts ahead of the game? We want a score prediction and the way you think the game will play out, Phil.
So I think it's going to be a close game, exciting. I think 2-2 draw. I think Northampton will take the lead, late comeback from Orient to get the 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw, sitting on the fence there, Phil, getting some splinters. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Phil. We really appreciate you giving us the time this evening, because we know you're extremely busy. Enjoy the game on the weekend and that match, and we hope you raise as much money as possible, because it's a really obviously emotional day for all involved. Obviously Northampton feel it just as much. Phil Smith there, the CEO of Northampton FC Community Trust. Now though, I turn my attentions to you in the studio. He sang 2-2. I'm hoping for a little bit more positivity. Before I get your score predictions, Brendan, how do you think the match will pan out?
Oh, it's going to be another high-scoring affair. I think we seem to be doing that a lot at the minute. Said last week, I said 2-2 and kind of close again. So
2-2, 3-3. It's not close, is it? Come on.
Well, I mean, it's a score draw.
It's a high scoring draw. You two, come on.
Oh, we'll be glad when you're away for 2 weeks. Yeah. Brendan, please excuse Julian and carry on this wonderful score prediction you're on.
I will go for 2-2 again, because it worked so well last time.
We've had 2-2-2s. We need to mix it up. I know. I've saved you last on purpose, Julian, because you are always... I think you're the optimist out of... If we could, let's actually quickly do this. We've got the knowledge, Brendan. We've got the gun show, Adam, who we miss very much. We're looking forward to him joining us again. Rob Edwards, yet to have a nickname. The guest, Julian Fern. Out of all four of you, if we would do a rankings of optimism, positivity for Orient results down to negativity, let's rank them. Julian, start with a ranking system. How would you go 1 to 4?
Top being
the top being number one most positive.
Yeah, me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Who's next?
Rob.
These three together are all bloody useless. No. They're
Rob, also, Rob,
yeah,
then,
yeah,
Rob,
that's right. Then Rob, second. Rob loves everything.
Julian, Rob, me, Adam.
Adam's the most. Well, he can't defend himself, Julian. So we're coming to Mr. Positive himself, number one. That place is cemented. Maybe we could change your nickname. But how do you think the game will pan out this weekend?
I said, following on from what you said earlier about sort of nicking that sort of in the last sort of 3 minutes on Saturday, that felt probably like a win for some of them. And saying earlier, as Brendan was saying, it could be Rossi's last game in charge. I think we'll go there. It'll be 2-1-0s.
2-1-0s. You're going,
and we'll do what we did every week. We'll score the first, concede, and then we'll score.
So, but this time you're going to hang on. They're not going to get. They're not going to go up.
I just think we'll for the sake of this time and my health, they'll win.
Just very quickly, because if this is Ross's last game, what will you think of his time back? How will you sum it up? And, you know, it's an emotional day for obviously Justin and the Northampton connection, but it's a big day for Ross as well, if potentially it is his last game, because it's a weird one to go out like that. You know, he's not been sacked. It will be an emotional one for the players themselves, won't it, Brendan?
Yeah, you've just got to really thank him for the job he's done, because it's exceptionally difficult circumstances he was in. He didn't really want the job in the first place, as we've said many times, and he steadied the ship. Now we feel like we're ready that someone else can come in and respectfully go on as a club, but I don't think that would have been well received at the time in the summer. So all credit to Ross. I know we talk about whether he's suited for the job or not, but he's done a fantastic job in the circumstances, really, and he deserves all the respect for it, really.
Yeah, I fully support that. And whoever comes in, they're going to come in with their fresh ideas, and I don't think people will be sort of saying Justin wouldn't have done this, Justin did it this way. I think it is time to move on from a playing stance. But if Ross or Ross's family are listening, on behalf of especially my family, because we're quite a vocal lot. I just want to thank you, and I think a lot of fans will say the same. I think you've done a superb job in difficult circumstances, not always pleasing all of us all the time. But you're a red man through and through. You're a Leighton Orient fan, and even Saturday for me as a big old boy, I got quite emotional when the fans were singing your name and the conceit in your own face that it meant a lot to you. So thank you.
I don't think we could have ended the show on a better note. Thank you from all of us at the Leighton Orient Fan Show as well, the E10 Mess Podcast. This was the Leighton Orient Fan Show. The knowledge is sand 2-2. The guest, Mr. Positive, is sand 2-1. Come on, O's. Potentially Ross's last game. We're hoping for a victory. As always, though, next week we'll be talking all about the fallout from that game. Every Wednesday here at Love Sport Radio, 8 till 9, it is the Leighton Orient Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.